Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich are both campaigning today in New Hampshire, with just a month to go before the primary.
Romney has had a commanding lead, but with Republican excitement growing around Gingrich, that lead is narrowing. The Romney campaign has been launching a few attacks on the former speaker. Today, Gingrich campaigned in Londonderry, New Hampshire, where he hit back, hitting Romney on his record at Bain Capital.
I would just say that if Governor Romney would like to give back all the money he's earned from bankrupting companies and laying off employees over his years at Bain, that I would be glad to then listen to him.
The Gingrich campaign is working hard to set up a full-fledged campaign in the Granite State. While Romney has had years to build a campaign operation in the state, Gingrich has only recently acquired the dollars and the poll numbers to allow him to compete on the ground.
So does this mean there's finally a meaningful race in New Hampshire? Well, maybe. But until now, there's been relatively little pre-primary excitement across the state. Compared to past years, candidate appearances are down. So is the amount of money spent on political ads. Why? Has the New Hampshire primary become less important? We're going to explore that question with NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin, who joins us now from NPR headquarters in Washington. And Ken Rudin, great to have you.
Hi, Anthony.
How are you?
Okay.
Also with us from Manchester, New Hampshire, Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Great to have you, Andy.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, Andy, let me start with you. There is a sense that there's much less, or there has been much less going on up there than in past elections. Tell us what you've observed in terms of candidate appearances, money spent, that kind of stuff.
Sure. There have been far fewer candidate appearances than we saw in 2008 and in 2000. There is much less money being spent this time around, largely because of those candidate appearances. But also there's, and I think this is most important, there's been far less spent on television advertising. By this time around in 2007, there had been more than $4 million spent in Boston and in New Hampshire on television, about half of that or less than half of that this time around. And despite New Hampshire's reputation as being a place where grassroots campaigning is critical, most people still get their information about who to vote for and about what these candidates are or who they are from television. And it's almost not like it's a real campaign until you see it on TV.
Hmm. So what's happening, though? Why is this changing now relative to previous election cycles, in your view?
I think the major reason is Mitt Romney. Romney's been the clear front runner in our polling here since 2009. And most of the other campaigns, I think, have largely ceded the race in New Hampshire to Romney until recently. The other factor is that the other campaigns just don't have the money. Other than Ron Paul and Rick Perry, there hasn't been a candidate until Gingrich recently who's had the kind of capital that they could invest in the state. And they haven't invested in either advertising or in organizational strength. We're seeing Rick Perry probably has the second best organization to Romney in the state, and Ron Paul has an effective organization as well. But the other candidates just don't have the resources in order to build those campaigns.
Well, you know, Andy Smith, our reporter Adam Raguzia, was up there last week. He checked in on a Buddy Romer event, and I know he talked to you about this. During that day, Buddy Romer was the only candidate in the state of New Hampshire, which seems sort of unusual with just a month to go. What do we lose? I mean, you're someone who follows this every election cycle. I imagine you have a certain attachment to sort of New Hampshire's role in this whole system. What do we lose when we see the sort of importance of the New Hampshire primary diminishing?
Well, there's a couple things. I don't think the importance is diminished. I think what we've seen is that over the last several cycles, the amount of money that it takes to compete for the presidency has increased, which means that all of the candidates are spending more time raising money and less time interacting with voters. I think that's the second major reason that we're not seeing as much activity in New Hampshire or in Iowa as well. If you have to spend all of your evenings going to fundraisers and most of your days talking to people on the phone, phone trying to get them to part with their dollars, it doesn't leave you much time to interact with voters. I think that's a major factor that we're seeing this time around. And I think it has hurt not so much the voters, because even in a state like New Hampshire, by and large, they get their information from television and from newspapers, from traditional media sources. You can meet candidates more here than you can in any other state. But the thing that I think it hurts most is the campaigns themselves. They don't get to hear from voters. They don't get to hear what their issues and problems and concerns are in their language. So I think that makes it more difficult for the candidates to actually interact with voters on their own terms. So when they start putting that advertising together and talking in debates and public forums, they're not speaking in the same language as candidates have in years past.
So we hear from them, but they're not hearing from us, from the voters.
Yeah, I don't think they have the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you think the New Hampshire primary has become less important than in the past? Or what do you make of what Andy Smith says? And is it significant? What are we losing? Is it the end of presidential retail politicking? Give us a call, particularly if you're listening to us from New Hampshire. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and at Radio Boston. And Ken Rudin, what's your take on this? Is there a reason that candidates are spending less time and money in small states like New Hampshire, which have been sort of famous for that retail politicking?
Thanks for coming to me. I thought you were ignoring me the way we ignored New Hampshire this cycle. But seriously, there's some things I want to disagree a little bit with Andy Smith, and I have great respect for Andy. But 4 years ago at this time, Mitt Romney also had a huge lead in New Hampshire. Matter of fact, 4 years ago, exactly this day, he had a double-digit lead over John McCain and Rudy Giuliani. So I don't think people are not focusing on New Hampshire because Romney is the heir apparent or the likely winner there. I think what's happened is by moving both Iowa and New Hampshire closer and closer to Christmas, to New Year's Day. I mean, the old days, while it was always 8 days apart, Iowa followed 8 days by New Hampshire, it was in February. And so you could campaign in Iowa, and then after the Iowa results were in, you can go to New Hampshire. But because nobody is focusing, or few people except political junkies, are focusing on the campaign early in January, at the end of, at the end of the Christmas season, everybody says, well, the candidates say, let's focus on Iowa. And it's not so much that they're not spending so much money in New Hampshire, because they're not spending so much money in Iowa either. Look at Newt Gingrich. He has violated all the rules of conventional wisdom. In the old days, you had to have money. You had to have troops on the ground. Remember, clean for Gene McCarthy in 68, or the Buchanan Brigade in 96. Now, basically, it's all about debates. There have been 9,653 debates on many on Fox News. And I think these candidates like Newt Gingrich are benefiting from great debate performances and not have to spend a lot of money or raise a lot of money and get a big organization.
It's interesting, Andy, listening to Ken say that, because I was talking to a campaign operative just not long ago, and he raised the issue of these debates, that a lot of these candidates are spending so much time preparing for the debates. As Ken said, there are, 3,200 of these debates every week.
201, sorry.
Every single week. And then they spend the rest of the time preparing for them, doing them, and then spinning them. Do you see that as a reason as well?
I think there's something to be said for that. I haven't looked at the actual number of specific debates that have occurred in last time around.
You do take issue with Ken's numbers, huh?
No, but I think there have been. I think that one of the things that Ken says is absolutely true is that voters are getting more information from national media sources in this cycle than they have in the past. But I think that's largely because we haven't seen the television advertising that we've seen in the past here in New Hampshire. So it's not like there's a real campaign going. And even that said, voters in New Hampshire have historically not made up their minds who they're going to vote for until the very last minute. It's not that big of a choice for most of them. It's not activists that are voting in the New Hampshire primary. It's regular rank and file voters. So they'll make up their mind in the last week or so, and that's when they'll really concentrate on it. But the holiday season does plop right down in the middle of the campaign there, and I think it really does change the dynamic. It compresses that last cycle where we usually have 2 months or so, or at least a month before the primary after the holidays. Now we're looking at a week or two after the holiday. So it does make it really sort of a non, it's still off over the horizon in the minds of most people. But when they wake up on New Year's Day, it'll all of a sudden be there.
Hmm. Well, Ken, speaking of that compression, I was looking at the list of campaign of primaries and caucuses beginning with Iowa, and I think it's within the first, in just 1 month. I mean, obviously, we ripped through Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida, Nevada, but there were a bunch of other states that just go boom, 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 boom. And that's a relatively recent phenomenon, isn't it?
It is. And of course, as more and more states want to be more and more important, you know, you're talking about the neglect of New Hampshire. There are a lot of people in this country, a lot of states in this country, that can't stand the influence that Iowa and New Hampshire have. And they've always rebelled against that. So not many people will be feeling sorry that if New Hampshire doesn't get the recognition that it's always gotten in the past. But because everybody's tried to move up, it is so compressed that you almost don't have time to react to the result. And therefore, you know, the fact that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama lasted until June, that's pretty remarkable, because lately, I mean, if it's in previous cycles, Al Gore wins Iowa, wins New Hampshire, the Democratic race is over. John Kerry wins Iowa, New Hampshire, it's over. A lot of times, momentum coming out of Iowa can move quickly into New Hampshire and knock out the rest of the field. But at the same time, in the past, we used to see, like, for example, a Gary Hart who would finish a distant second to Walter Mondale in Iowa, but because he became such suddenly became the alternative. We always thought the alternative was John Glenn, but when it was Gary Hart, 8 days later, he won in New Hampshire. You know, Michael Dukakis would lose in Iowa, win in New Hampshire. Ronald Reagan would lose in Iowa, win in New Hampshire. So a lot of times you can have either momentum coming out of momentum coming out of Iowa, or at least the voters getting a second thought, a second chance to redo what Iowa did. But right now it's so compressed that sometimes voters don't even have a chance to think or process the whole situation.
See, I think that's what's being lost. I mean, I would never make a case that, you know, New Hampshire deserves to be the one state out of the 50 to have that, but some state has to be first. And for a long time, it seemed it was the only, it sort of made sense because it is sort of politically moderate. And that way, it's sort of a good representative state. And it's small. So these guys could really get around and really look people in the eye and really see them. I think it's a pity if we lose that.
But, that's why we talk about retail politics. And yet retail politics is on its way out, or at least in this cycle, when everybody really, you know, they spend their time debating all the time. And Andy talked about this as well. If you're constantly debating, you don't have time to get on, you know, get out in the snow, get out and to the diners and the bowling alleys and things like that.
Yeah. Andy, you were about to say something.
Yeah, there was one thing about the front-loading process of states moving closer and closer to the front of the window. It's actually less in 2012 than it was in 2008.
Really?
I think what we saw in 2008 is so many states had their caucuses and primaries early that they realized that they were not getting the bang for the buck that they might have. And we've seen big states like California and Ohio move their primaries back, in Ohio's case, into May. And I think California is into June this time around, because I think they saw that moving yourself closer to the front actually increases the importance of Iowa and New Hampshire and the other early states. Bill Mayer, a political scientist down at Northeastern University, has done a lot of analysis on this and says that front loading actually increases the importance of Iowa and New Hampshire because of that momentum issue, that a campaign essentially is over if they don't win in Iowa or New Hampshire.
Mm. Listeners, we want to hear from you. We're talking about the New Hampshire primary and the state of affairs right now. Do you have the sense that there's less going on up there in the past? And if so, what do you make of it? Give us a call, particularly if you're watching all this from the Granite State. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Merrimack, New Hampshire. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
My comment is just that it was said earlier that, you know, the changes are essentially making it cost more to run your campaign, and therefore, you know, the candidates are spending less time on the ground with the people. And I think, you know, just that the more the campaign becomes about money and the more money that someone needs to be to run their campaign, you know, the less quality of a campaign it is, personally. I think that, you know, we need to find a way to get it so that candidates are needing to spend less of their own personal money to become, you know, a candidate, to get out there and meet the people and whatever,
Sure,
and
Jim.
Make it
so
more
you're
about
so Jim. You're advocating for that sort of old style retail on the ground retail politicking. We hear you. Let's go to another call. Mark calling from Littleton, Massachusetts. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We're only a few miles away from the New Hampshire border, and I had a question regarding the because I've noticed that we're seeing far fewer ads than we have in the past. Do you think that part of it is sort of not so much that the Republican candidates are ceding New Hampshire to Mitt Romney because of his front-runner status, but because as an ex-governor as a resident of New Hampshire, they're sort of ceding it because he's familiar. People know him up here.
Good question. What do you think, Andy Smith? He's practically a local up there, governor to a neighboring state, former governor to a neighboring state, and of course he owns a house up there, as Mark says.
Yeah, I think there's three reasons that Romney has been so strong up here. Number one is that he is he's a local guy. People know him in the state, as you mentioned. He campaigned in 2008. Secondly, he fits in with the political electorate in New Hampshire. He's a moderate Northeastern Republican. New Hampshire Republicans are by and large moderate Northeastern, so he's comfortable there. And then the third reason is that he was the guy who finished second in 2008, and Republicans have a real tendency to go through the chairs, you know, pick the person who's next in line, and that seems to be Romney. He's been leading by a significant margin, and again, in our polls, certainly more than anything we saw in 2008 cycle. And he's also been the Republican who's had the highest level of favorability in the state. So he hasn't had to advertise. Everybody knows who he is. It's the other candidates who don't have the money and organization that he has, who frankly need to do some advertising to boost their recognition within the state, who haven't. And that's actually, to me, the kind of surprising thing. You can advertise on WMUR in New Hampshire, which is the only real statewide TV station, and it's pretty inexpensive, and I'm quite surprised that some of the candidates, like John Huntsman, who says he's got all his marbles in New Hampshire, and Rick Perry or Rick Santorum, some of these other candidates who aren't doing so well, for not too much money, you could get a good-sized ad buy on WMUR and boost your numbers here in the state.
Mm. Look, I think it's a good thing that a lot of candidates have their marbles in New Hampshire. A lot of them don't have their marbles altogether, but the thing I was going to point out is that, look, Mitt Romney has still had this huge lead 4 years ago. I think the polls in New Hampshire mean so little because I think the big number, the word we're forgetting about here is momentum. Mm. If Newt Gingrich can win Iowa with no money and no organization, 7 days later, if he could win New Hampshire, I don't think any Republican since Gerry Ford has won Iowa and New Hampshire and gone on to win the nomination. So this is momentum is a big thing in both the Democratic and the Republican Party. Obviously, we're only talking about one party in 2012, but it's hard to make the case that Mitt Romney is the anointed choice if he loses the first two contests. And right now, he could very well do that, especially if he loses in Iowa.
You know, let me respond to that because I think the Iowa Republican electorate and the New Hampshire Republican electorate are very, very different. And
they always vote differently. They vote differently, right?
Exactly. And typically, the winner of the Iowa Republican caucuses doesn't do very well in New Hampshire for that very reason, because the voters here are quite different than the voters in Iowa. So in 2008, Mike Huckabee is very attractive to those evangelical voters who make up the bulk of the Republican electorate out in Iowa, but there's not many of those to speak of in New Hampshire, and he finishes third, fourth place here. I think that's the kind of scenario that we might expect this time around. A little bit different, though, that despite the kind of the dynamic that we're hearing in national media between this being Romney and the anti-Romney, who is now Newt Gingrich. In New Hampshire, what we're seeing in our polling is that if you ask Romney voters who their second choice is, it's Gingrich. And if you ask Gingrich who their second choice is, it's Romney. So I think we're seeing a bit in New Hampshire of the best-known candidates are the ones that are at the top of the polls.
Well, Andy Smith, let me ask you a horse race question. What's the latest polling say about this Romney? You gave us a couple of numbers there about Romney-Gingrich, but we know that Gingrich is polling ahead of Romney in many national polls. Of course, there's no national primary. What's your latest polling showing in New Hampshire?
Well, the latest we had, which came out right before Thanksgiving, so it's kind of dated now. We had Romney at 43% and Gingrich at 15%, but the Real Clear Politics average right now is 36% for Romney, 24% for Gingrich, and Ron Paul at 16%. So it's tightened up significantly, but Romney's still in that kind of mid-30s range. And I agree with Ken that polls this far out in New Hampshire are nowhere near predictive, largely because people make up their mind at the end. As I said in 2008, we found that half of the voters on both the Republican and Democratic side hadn't made up their mind who they were going to vote for 2 days before the election.
Yeah.
So it's really up in the air until the very end.
The day of the New Hampshire primary, all polls had Barack Obama beating Hillary Clinton, and that's not what happened in New Hampshire. And as I said, mid-December 2007, Mitt Romney had the same huge lead in New Hampshire as he does now. And, of course, he finished second.
You know, I want to pick up a point that you made about it. You know, if Gingrich upsets Romney in New Hampshire, and you made reference earlier to Gary Hart, you know, really shocking the world back in 1983 and beating Walter Mondale in New Hampshire. But what did Hart in the end is he couldn't match Mondale's financial and organizational advantages that he had across the nation. And I'm just wondering, that seems to be an enduring advantage that Mitt Romney would take out of New Hampshire, whatever happened there. Do you agree with that?
I think there's truth to that. I think a lot of Democrats also didn't know much about Gary Hart. The famous Walter Mondale, where's the beef question was asked about Gary Hart throughout the whole campaign. But I think all the questions about Newt Gingrich have been asked for years and maybe answered for years. Hmm. We may not like what we see. We may not think that he's the best candidate or the best resume to run. But I kind of think that voters, unlike with Gary Hart in 84, they know Newt Gingrich. And again, if he wins the early contest, he'll be, you know, hard to beat. But look, we've had so many front runners. We've had, you know, Michelle Bachmann was going to win it, and Herman Cain was going to win it, and Rick Perry was going to win it. For all we know, we may wind up with Mitt Romney. But right now, it just seems like, you know, it's a Republican race that could go all the way at least through June.
Hmm.
Well, I would say I agree with Ken. If Romney loses New Hampshire, he's done. I mean, if he can't win in the most moderate of all of the primary states, and the one in his backyard where he has all of the advantages, I don't think he's going to be taken seriously by voters in the states subsequent to New Hampshire.
And Andy Smith, what does Gingrich have to do to win in New Hampshire? In other words, as we've seen in New Hampshire, you don't actually have to win for it to be to spin it as a win. You know, and I'm thinking Bill Clinton claiming a victory of sorts in New Hampshire when he was the comeback kid. He got a lot of mileage on that, but in fact, he finished second there.
I think that's really been the secondary story throughout this campaign is that the Romney campaign is trying to downplay the importance of New Hampshire and how well they're doing here. All of the other candidates are trying to say that Romney's the big favorite, and if he does, you know, worse than 45% here, it's a loss for him. So the setting of expectations is a bit of a parlor game that's going on in the state. That will eventually be set by the press. The press will determine whether or not a candidate did as well as expected, and if Romney doesn't do, if it's a close race between Romney and Gingrich here, it will certainly be spun by some people in the press as a loss for Romney. Certainly the Gingrich people will say it's a loss for Romney. And, you know, there are times where it's even been worse than the Bill Clinton comeback kid race. If you go back to 1972 when Ed Muskie won significantly in New Hampshire, but not as much as he was supposed to have won, but mm-hmm. he won by, you know, 30% over the next guy. It was still spun as a loss for him, and he was not able to really continue.
And 4 years earlier, Lyndon Johnson beat Eugene McCarthy in New Hampshire, and yet everybody thinks of Gene McCarthy winning the primary there because he did far better than expected.
Interesting. Well, gentlemen, let me end this segment with Roy Mack, who writes this on RadioBoston.org. New Hampshire has always had an inflated sense of importance due to the primaries. There's no reason all states couldn't have their primaries on the same day. At least the most populous states wouldn't be shut out of the selection process. Ken Rudin, NPR political editor, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
9,624 primaries. I just looked it up. Debates.
Debates, right. We knew what you meant. And Andy Smith, director of University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Thank you, Andy. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. And I think we just had two more debates since we've been talking.
Stay with us, listeners. Up next, the state secretary of Housing and Economic Development joins us to talk about his just completed trade mission to South America. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.